Hello, it's Thursday, April 25th, 2024. I'm Chris Kelly. Welcome to Chris Sports. Looking at the photographs on the front page of the current sports section this morning, we have two pictures from the New York Stock Exchange where Dan Hurley rang the opening bell yesterday. And the first photograph with a big group of people, Hurley standing with UConn President Radenka Marich, as well as Governor Ned Lamont. And in the second photograph, he's signing the big guest book that they have at the stock exchange. We'll get to that story a little bit later. The other photograph is a picture of Aidan Mahoney, who was a player for St. Mary's and now is transferring. In the photograph, he's playing against UConn and being defended by Naheem Aline during a second round matchup in 2023. And the headline is, report says St. Mary's transfer Mahoney plans Huskies visit. Former St. Mary's guard Aidan Mahoney, one of the top offensive players left in the portal, will reportedly visit UConn this weekend. National College Basketball Insider Jeff Goodman reported on Tuesday night. The 6'3" rising junior averaged 14 points in each of the last two seasons and has shot 41% from the field over his career. The Gael's leading scorer added 2.5 rebounds and 2.5 assists per game while shooting 35.5% on three-point attempts per game this past season after hitting 40% as a freshman. Goodman reported that Mahoney is currently visiting Virginia and already completed a trip to Big East foe Creighton. He will also visit Kentucky this weekend in addition to his trip to Storrs. Head coach Dan Hurley warned that the guard, quote, would eat you alive if the ball screen defense wasn't 1,000% on point, a day after meeting St. Mary's in the second round of last year's NCAA tournament in Albany, a 70-55 win. Mahoney finished the game with 9 points, tied for the team high on 4 of 13 shooting, 1 of 5 from the field. UConn, facing the potential fate of losing its entire starting five to the NBA, knows it definitely needs replacements in the backcourt, where the leading scorers Tristan Newton and Cam Spencer are leaving a void as their eligibility expires and Stephon Castle exits as a projected top NBA draft pick. Hassan Dariya, the Big East Sixth Man of the Year, hasn't yet announced whether he'll return to exercise his fifth year of eligibility. The Huskies are set to bring in four-star point guard Ahmad Newell as part of the 2024 recruiting class, to which they hope to add a shooter from Monteverde Academy, Liam McNeely, who visited at the start of the week. Isaiah Abraham, a versatile four-star forward, is also part of the Huskies' high school class. So far, the UConn staff has made one transfer portal addition, signing Michigan transfer Terrace Reed, who will help subsidize the loss of potential lottery pick Donovan Klingon and join forces with returning Samson Johnson in the front court. Alex Carabon has until May 29 to decide whether he'll remain in the draft or return for a third season in Storrs. To the Patriots, number 3 pick may help define franchise. The Patriots face a regime-defining decision Thursday night at the 2024 NFL Draft. Set to pick 3rd overall, Patriots Director of Scouting Elliot Wolf made it clear during his pre-draft press conference that the team is keeping its options open when they're on the clock. During that 15-minute session, Wolf acknowledged the possibility of taking a quarterback, trading back, trading up, and even staying put and not taking a quarterback. So let's dive into all the possibilities the Patriots face at number 3 overall and rank them based on their likelihood. 1. Stay put and draft a QB. The most logical move for the Patriots, even though we're at the point in the pre-draft process when every quarterback has been overanalyzed and nitpicked to death, there are at least 3 quarterbacks widely considered as worthy of a top 3 pick in USC's Caleb Williams, LSU's Jaden Daniels, and UNC's Drake May, and Michigan's J.J. McCarthy has a lot of fans around the NFL as well. Quarterback is clearly the Patriots' top need heading into the draft because of the importance of the position. If the Patriots hit on a quarterback, whether that's Daniels, May, or McCarthy, then Wolf and new head coach Jerod Mayo will have jobs in New England for a long time. Patriots owner Robert Kraft said last month at the NFL annual meeting that he'd like his team to wind up with a top-rated young quarterback in the draft. He also said he'd evaluate Wolf's role as the head of player personnel after the draft. Wolf and his staff can't screw this up. And sure, as Bill Belichick recently said on the Pat McAfee show, the first-round quarterback is only a 50-50 proposition, so a quarterback the Patriots take might not wind up being the future of the franchise, but they're in a much better position to land what they need in a franchise quarterback, knowing that they're picking third in what's regarded as a strong class for quarterbacks than they might be in the future, when they could be picking anywhere with a weak crop of passers. But other options must be considered, since Wolf isn't coming out and saying a quarterback will be the pick. 2, trade down and select a quarterback. This one's a risk. Yes, the Patriots could trade down for the number 3 overall and still wind up with one of the top 4 quarterbacks, but it's no guarantee, especially if a deal is consummated with the team best positioned to trade up, the Vikings, who hold the 11th and 23rd overall picks in the draft. And we're not discounting the possibility that a trade down could involve a player. For the Vikings, the best options would be a wide receiver, Justin Jefferson, and offensive tackle Christian Darwisaw, both of whom would fill major needs on the Patriots roster. 3, trade down and take a non-quarterback. This option is much less complicated, but would likely require the Patriots to have to settle for a quarterback like Oregon's Bo Nix or Washington's Michael Penix later in the first round or early in the second. The issue with trading with the Vikings is that there is no real guarantee that the Patriots would land one of the top 3 wide receivers or top 3 offensive tackles at number 11. So if Williams, Daniels, May, McCarthy, Ohio State wide receiver Marvin Harrison, LSU wide receiver Malik Nabers, Washington wide receiver Rome Odunze, Notre Dame offensive tackle Joe Alt, Oregon State offensive tackle Talese Fuaga, and Washington offensive tackle Troy Fentonow are all gone, then what exactly do the Patriots do? Trade up for a quarterback, number 4. This option is tricky since the Commanders, who hold the 2nd overall pick, are also expected to take a quarterback. But if the Patriots and Commanders order their quarterbacks differently, or if the Patriots greatly prefer one player over the others, then they could potentially move up to number 2 overall to draft their favorite out of Daniels, May, and McCarthy. 5, stay put for a non-quarterback. This option might send Patriots fans into an actual fervor, but in a normal draft without so many worthy quarterbacks, then Harrison, Nabers, Odunze, or Alt would be fine picks at 3 overall. The Patriots arguably need help at wide receiver and offensive tackle even more than at quarterback in 2024. To the Giants, New York likely to bolster passing attack. It's difficult to forecast which position the Giants will target when the NFL draft begins Thursday night in Detroit, much less exactly which player it'll be. But it's almost a certainty that the Giants will look to bolster their passing game before what could potentially be a make-or-break third season for head coach Brian Daboll. The Giants ranked 5th to last in both passing yards and touchdowns over the last 2 seasons. Injuries and inconsistencies from quarterback Daniel Jones, along with simply a lack of sheer talent at receiver, have been the main culprits. Moving on from Jones after the 2024 season is a viable option, since he'll have no guaranteed money remaining despite being under contract through 2026. Cutting him before the 25 season would leave $22 million in dead money against the salary cap. The problem, though, is that the top 3 teams in draft order, the Bears, Commanders, and Patriots, all need a quarterback, and the Giants don't pick until number 6. It's also conceivable that another team trades up in the top 5 to select the 4th quarterback in this rich class. Some insiders believe the North Carolina's Drake May would be the Giants' preferred quarterback, but it could depend how the first 2 picks go and how much the Giants are willing to yield in order to make it happen. Michigan's J.J. McCarthy has also been floated as a possibility. The Giants have only 6 picks in this year's draft, number 6, number 47, number 70, number 107, 166, and number 183. So any trade would likely involve dipping into future drafts. My job is to do what's best for the franchise. If there's an opportunity to move up, move back, stay, whether it's in the first round, third round, fifth round, that's what we'll do, Schoen said. The good news is, after the first round on Thursday, you can regroup going into Friday before the second and third round and have those conversations again. Should the Giants decide to stand pat in the first round, the most likely outcome is a wide receiver at number 6, such as LSU's Malik Nabers or Washington's Rome Odunze, with Ohio State's Marvin Harrison likely off the board by then. That would give the Giants a better chance to win this year with Jones, who is recovering from ACL surgery, and get another more complete evaluation of the six-year pro in Daboll's system. The reality is that the Giants have lacked a true number one wide receiver since they traded Odell Becker prior to Jones' rookie season in 2019, with pedestrian players like Darius Slater, Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate, and Kenny Galladay serving as Jones' top targets. They did acquire former All-Pro tight end Darren Waller last year, but of course Jones played in only 6 games because of injuries, and now Waller is contemplating retirement. Schoen said he believes several receivers will be drafted in the first round this year. Other options in the second or third round could be a player like Florida's Ricky Pearsall or Florida State's Keon Coleman. Here's what else the Giants will be targeting, likely, during the 3-day NFL draft. Cornerback. The Giants appear to have a hole at their number 2 cornerback spot after Deontay Banks, the number 24 pick in last year's draft, with free agent Adoree Jackson not expected to return. I expect the team to seriously consider selecting a corner in the second or third round on day 2. Defensive tackle. Outside linebacker Brian Burns was a huge sign-and-trade addition to the Giants' pass rush, but the defense needs depth on the interior and could get at least one reinforcement on day 2 or 3. And running back. The Giants will likely look to add some running back depth in the third round or on day 3 after the departure of Saquon Barkley to the rival Eagles. From the NBA playoffs. Knicks prepared for a hostile Philly crowd in Game 3. This is where it becomes a series. The Knicks took a 2-0 series lead in their first-round playoff matchup against the Sixers on Monday with a thrilling 104-101 victory at the Garden. The series now swings to Philly's Wells Fargo Center for Games 3 and 4, where the Sixers team, with a strong belief that it can even things at 2 apiece, where they'll play in front of some of the rowdiest fans in all of sports. Great place to play. Their fans are, they make it a hostile environment, and that's what you want on the road, said Knicks forward Josh Hart, who played in front of said Philly fans in college at Villanova. So we look forward to it. We know they're going to bring their best shot, so we've got to try to punch first. The Sixers went 25-16 in home games this season and 22-19 on the road. They also went 19-5 at home in games featuring Joel Embiid, who missed more than half the season due to meniscus surgery. Embiid, the league's reigning MVP, averaged 35 points, 11 rebounds, and 5.5 assists during the regular season, and 31.5 points and 9 rebounds in 2 games at the Garden. The Knicks, however, went 3-1 in their series against the Sixers and won both of their games played in Philadelphia. Embiid missed 3 of 4 games of the series. In his lone appearance, the Knicks won by 36. The Knicks went 23-18 on the road during the regular season. This is the first Knicks-Sixer playoff series since 1989, when New York won in a 3-0 sweep. Thibodeau said success on the road boils down to concentration, using good judgment, and giving maximum effort. Those are the things that you need to win, so be disciplined, he said. We know our defense has been good, our rebounding has been good, and taking care of the ball has been good. Knicks star Jalen Brunson, who is struggling from the field, shooting just 16 of 55, or 29%, and 16.5% from 3 in the series, says he's ready for the challenge. Take a look at the weather forecast. taking a look at what's on the air today in sports, starting in baseball. At 7:30, Alabama at Mississippi on ESPNU. In Major League Baseball, at 7 o'clock, Oakland at the Yankees on Yes MLB and Radio 97.9. NBA playoffs at 7 o'clock, Cleveland at Orlando on NBA. 7:30, New York at Philadelphia on TNT. And 10 o'clock, Denver at the Lakers on TNT. The NFL draft at 8 o'clock on ABC, ESPN, and NFL. Golf, all of this is on the Golf Channel. 6:30, the GM Eagle LA Championship, and 11 o'clock, the ISPS Honda Championship. Hockey from the NHL at 7 o'clock, Florida at Tampa Bay on TBS, and at 7:30, Carolina versus the Islanders on ESPN2. From the Red Sox, Red Sox place Bello on 15-day injured list with right lat tightness. The bad news just keeps coming for the Red Sox. Prior to Wednesday's game, the club announced righty Breon Bello is being placed on the 15-day injured list with right lat tightness. To fill the spot on the roster, the club has recalled righty Zach Kelly from AAA. The club's opening day starter, Bello is among several Red Sox standouts who the team really can't afford to be without. The 24-year-old recently signed a six-year contract extension that'll keep him in Boston through the remainder of the decade. And through his first five starts, Bello had posted a 3.04 ERA over 26-plus innings. Bello now joins fellow rotation mates Lucas Giolito, Nick Pivetta, and Garrett Whitlock on the shelf, along with fellow up-and-comer Tristan Cassis, who is expected to miss significant time with a fractured rib. All told, the Red Sox have 13 players on the injured list, and that doesn't even include Tyler O'Neill or Rob Refsnyder, who were both activated earlier this week, or Rafael Devers, who has missed 11 of Boston's first 24 games due to various ailments. Yankees Cashman speaks. Standing beneath the Major Deegan Expressway on Wednesday, Brian Cashman discussed Juan Soto's exceptional start to his Yankee career. The superstar acquired from the Padres over the offseason began the day hitting 319, 432, 538 with five homers, 20 RBIs over 20 games. Soto had been even better with runners in scoring position, slashing 500, 583, 1.056 with three dingers and 17 RBIs. It's a huge reason why the first-place Yankees were 16-8 despite some inconsistent and underachieving performances from others in the lineup. Cashman spoke at an event hosted by the Bronx Children's Museum and Players Alliance with an assist from the Yankees as well. Bronx-born artist Andre Trenier unveiled murals featuring six living black baseball legends. Commissioner Rob Manfred and current and former Yankees attended and or were featured, included Aaron Judge, CeCe Sabathia, Dave Winfield, Willie Randolph, and Curtis Granderson. From the Mets, after some tough at-bats on the West Coast, help finally appears to be on the way for the Mets. J.D. Martinez is expected to be activated Friday for the first game of a seven-game homestand. Martinez went 1-for-4 with an RBI Tuesday for AAA Syracuse. From the Jets, biggest draft needs, potential prospects. After months of speculation, the 2024 NFL draft is almost here. On Thursday night, the team's dreams of many aspiring prospects will come true as they step into the spotlight as the first round gets underway at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. A total of 257 players will be selected during the three-day event in Detroit. After what they accomplished in free agency, the Jets, who are selecting 10th overall, are in an excellent position. This offseason, they acquired three offensive linemen and signed wide receiver Mike Williams to a one-year contract worth up to $15 million. Although Coach Douglas feels like the Jets have flexibility, they need to address team depth at a few positions. Let's preview the Jets' needs and look at the players that they could draft. The needs include offensive tackle, wide receiver, quarterback, running back, safety, and cornerback. Players acquired this offseason: quarterback Tyrod Taylor, guard John Simpson, receiver Mike Williams, defensive tackle Javon Kinlaw, offensive tackle Tyrone Smith, and offensive tackle Morgan Moses. Receiver or lineman? These are There are some who feel like the Jets are set on an offensive line with the addition of Smith, Moses, and Simpson. However, New York will need to weigh the decision to draft an offensive lineman or add an offensive weapon for Rodgers. At number 10, the Jets will have an abundance of wide receivers and possibly a generational tight end to choose from. Draft prediction. The Jets have wanted to appease Rodgers by any means since he arrived. I don't see that changing during the 24 draft. Because of that, the Jets will likely select an offensive skill position player. There's a good chance Aduzna might not make it to number 10. If that's the case, Bowers will likely be the selection. And the big draft overview. Offense will dominate first round. The NFL draft will be offensive. We're not talking about hurt feelings. This draft has the potential to set a record for most offensive players selected in the first round. No draft has seen more than 19 players in offense chosen in the first round. That happened three times, most recently in 2009. Many draft experts are predicting more than 20 offensive players will go in the first round, and some have up to 25. The AP's final mock draft had 22 going in the first round, including 10 offensive linemen, 6 receivers, 5 quarterbacks, and 1 tight end. Quarterbacks get most of the attention, of course. Caleb Williams is ticketed for the Bears with the number 1 pick. Beyond him, there's plenty of questions. The Commanders need a franchise QB and will choose from Jaden Daniels, the 23 Heisman Trophy winner, and Drake May at number 2. J.J. McCarthy's stock has soared since leading Michigan to a national championship, and he could end up in the top 5, with some analysts even putting him ahead of Daniels and May. Michael Penix and Bo Nix are in the second tier, but could end up drafted in the latter part of the opening round. The Raiders own the 13th pick, so they would have to move up to secure one of the top 4 guys. They enter the draft with veteran Gardner Minshew and second-year pro Aiden O'Connell, and could stay put to take the best player available and still end up with Penix or Nix later. Wide receivers are a hot commodity with Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, and Rome Adusno not only considered among the top 5 potential picks, but the best players in the entire draft. Brian Thomas, Adonai Mitchell, and Troy Franklin round out the 6 wideouts in the AP's first mock first round. Other potential first-round picks include Ladd McConkey and Xavier Leggett. It's such a deep class of receivers that teams could wait to snag an eventual starter on day 2 or 3. Protecting the quarterback is critical to a team's success, so there's always the emphasis on offensive linemen, especially tackles. Joe Alt is the consensus top lineman and is expected to be a top 10 pick. J.C. Latham, Talese Fugua, and Troy Fentonow could go in the top 20. They're all really talented. When you look at the top group of guys, really, I would say you're talking about Alt, Fashanu, Fuaga, and Latham. I would think those are pretty unanimous. Whatever order you have them in, those are your top 4 guys. The Bruins were beaten the other night. So their series with Toronto is tied 1-1. Next game, they played last night. We'll try to look up the score while we're multitasking here. Florida has a 2-0 lead on Tampa Bay. The Rangers beat Washington. They're up 2-0 with Game 3 on Friday. Carolina's up 2-0 on the Islanders. And on the West, Vegas played last night. They already had a 1-0 lead on Dallas. Winnipeg and Colorado tied at 1. Vancouver and Nashville tied at 1. And Edmonton has a 1-0 lead on Los Angeles, though they played the second game last night. Starters for the locals tonight. The Red Sox, with a 1 o'clock start, have not announced a starter. They'll face Cleveland's McKenzie, who's 2-2 with a 5 ERA. The Yankees have Cortez 1-1, 3.41 against Wood of Oakland, who is 0-2, 7.89. This date in baseball history, it's a good one. 1901, in the opener at Detroit's Bennett Park, the Tigers beat Milwaukee in a great comeback, trailing 13-4 going into the bottom of the ninth. They Tiger scored 10 for a 14-13 victory. 1904, New York pitcher Jack Cheeseborough recorded the first of his 41 victories on the season, an American League record that still stands. 1913, Yankees pitcher Russ Van Atta made a spectacular debut in blanking Washington 16-0 and going 4-for-4. In 1948, Larry Doby of the Indians ties a major league record by striking out 5 times in a game. And in 1961, 2 weeks after the Celtics win the NBA championship, their reserve center, Gene Conley, pitched for the Red Sox, gets his first major league victory, a 6-1 win over the visiting Washington Senators. And last night, the Bruins did defeat the Maple Leafs 4-2 to take a 2-1 series lead. Meanwhile, the Celtics lost to the Heat 111-101. And that series is now tied 1 game each. Going around the horn from the Mets, Francisco Lindor hit a pair of 2-run homers, and the Mets avoided a 3-game sweep with an 8-2 win over the Giants Wednesday in San Francisco. Lindor went 4-for-5 with 4 RBIs and recorded the 16th multi-homer game of his career. From the Cubs, Cody Bellinger has 2 fractured ribs on his right side, sidelining another key player for the Cubs. He got hurt when he hit the wall in center while trying to make a play on Yonier Diaz's RBI double in the 4th of Tuesday night's 7-2 victory over the Astros. Blue chip stock. Huskies coach Dan Hurley rings opening bell. For the 2nd year in a row, UConn chants broke out at the New York Stock Exchange after men's basketball coach Dan Hurley rang the opening bell on Wednesday morning. Celebrating back-to-back national titles, Hurley was joined by Governor Ned Lamont and other VIPs, where the contingent grew to include Hurley's wife, as well as assistant coaches and other staffers. Hurley followed President Merrick on the podium, who closed her remarks by telling Andrea not to let up the pressure on her husband because we want to be back and we want this to be a tradition. The Huskies head coach, who just finished his 6th year in stores, was the first to use the phrase three-peat after the final buzzer of their national championship game against Purdue. The Stock Exchange appearance came as a 3rd major celebratory stop for the champs, who brought an estimated 60,000 to Hartford for a victory parade April 13th. That's the latest from the sports world. I'm Chris Kelly. I've been reading from the April 25th, 2024 Hartford Current Sports section.